Lord. I just pray that I do the things that I'm teaching, Lord, and I pray that others will hear and put it upon themselves to put on the full armor and to go through and trust the process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians 3:18. 3:17, actually. Thrust is an 18. Okay. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. All right, the lesson today is going to be process. We're all in a process, and we have to trust that kind of process. But I'm going to walk through some things today to show you that we're all in a process. I'm going to have a little parable or whatever you call it with it. I'm going to show you what God's idea of the process is. And then I'm going to reaffirm that process. So, there is a process that Christians, if they choose to, they're going to go from glory to glory. Okay? That's the process. From the established state of our immersion to the glorification of His character. If we choose to. See, that's the problem. Because we are always in a process. Some are in that process. Some put the process on hold sometimes. And some are working through a process that will probably come to their demise. So we're always in a process, one way or the other. So it's all about our choices and what we do. The kingdom, we're either working through the kingdom, or we're on pause, or we're working out of the kingdom. There's a subtle change that goes on in each process that really is hard for people to see. You know, when I became a Christian, I didn't think I was changing much, you know. I really didn't see much till people would comment, you know. So that always helped to get that feedback, because in our minds we really think that we're not growing. And that's how subtle it is sometimes. So, if you're not changing the way you think, then the process is stagnant. It's subtle. And you have all kinds of excuses. But people with knowing the why they're doing it will understand the process and the how to get there. So, I'm going to give you a little analogy or a little parable about this guy who was a quarterback of a football team. Okay, he walks in. He's about 6'5", about 230 pounds, full muscle. Coach sees him as like, whoa. You know, what do you play, son? Play quarterback. Coach is excited, you know. Hey, we got something here. I got a few good receivers, got a decent line, got some good running backs. We could probably do something here. So the coach implements his plan, puts all this together, and he sees this quarterback's work in the system, understanding the plays, but his accuracy is not there, you know? So he has all the potential to be this great quarterback, you know? But he can't hit the broadside of a barn, you know? He just can't do it. And he's been quarterbacking for a while. The coach never asked him. He just seen him and said, hey, this is a guy I want to do this. Never really looked at it. So he's been going through practice, and they get to their first scrimmage, you know, and he's thinking, okay, this guy, we'll see how he performs under pressure. Well, he didn't do so well. He did about, completed two passes for about 15 yards, but he threw 20 times. So he didn't do real well. So this kid's a little down and out. You know, he's got players and all the teammates kind of thinking, scratching their head. And he's thinking, oh, man, you know, a lot of pressure here. But he's got a choice. He's got a choice right then and there. He's got all the potential, right? Everything that he needs. He's got the plays. He's got everything the coach has given him. He's got all the stuff that the coach laid out here, but he didn't really pay attention to the first part of the fundamentals. He didn't pay attention to the drop backs, where he has to hold the ball to throw or anything like that from his youth on. He just, everybody seen him as a quarterback, and he was just in thinking he'd get it, you know, that he would get through there. Never really took the time to teach him or to help him. So this quarterback has to sit back and think, what am I going to do here? Am I quit? Am I going to get out of this? You know, will I leave because I'm making a fool out of myself? You know, this is starting quarterback of a high school football team, and I don't really know what I'm doing. Can't do what they think I can do. See, he's got a choice. He can believe that he's no good, right? And either get replaced or quit, you know? Or he can get his mind, get his focus on where it needs to be. See, he's got another 3 weeks till the first full game. So what's his point? What's his plan? Well, he's got to start by believing in himself, right? Because that's the only place that we can ever get anywhere. Right? We can only get anywhere if we believe we can do it. If we don't think we can, we're sure not to. So he sits, and he goes through all these quarterbacks. He looks at Joe Montana and Tom Brady and Johnny Manziel. and Bernie Kosar. There, that's a better one. So, he goes through all these quarterbacks, and he looks, reads books on them, studies their performance, you know, really in depth, gets a focus on what he needs to do. He gains knowledge about what a quarterback looks like, what it needs to be successful and accurate. He's understanding that if he gets back, his shoulder's got to be square to where he's thrown, his foot's got to point to the ball, and he's got to have his hand out. So now he understands. So his accuracy is getting better from the knowledge that he understood. So he's practicing those things. He's understanding what it takes to become a good quarterback. See, it's the fundamentals. He had to get back to the fundamentals. You know, instead of trying to play here, you got to start here. It's all about the fundamentals. So he does a great job, and he finally finishes, and he ends up doing really well. They had a great season. He ended up making the All-Star team. You know? So he took his time. He didn't get crazy in his thought process. He did the only thing that he could do was trust the process. Right? See, the coach believed in him. seen him and knew he had the potential. Does our God see us that way? Right? He sees the potential in us every time. Doesn't even waver, different than a coach. He don't even scratch his head to say, what's this guy doing? He knows. So, putting away, the guy had to put away the distractions to get focused on what he needed to do. You know, so that's part of Christianity, is the focus. You know, I have a hard time balancing work and Christianity until I mesh them together. You mesh them together for one purpose. See, there's no difference in what I... Before I was thinking I had to do this and this. But if I do this with this together, then I have something. It's not about the money. It's about seeing my work as the mission field. Not the... doing exactly what I'm supposed to do at this time and then doing something else another time. See, that makes two different focuses that I had. But you got to mesh them together to get what God wants from us. That potential can be realized with the right focus. See, God's the coach. And this process that we go through is the same thing. If we practice the fundamentals, you know, going through the pre-plan, you know, being able to teach that right with people, understanding that, going through the right renewing processes, going through all this, whatever studies you want to work on, but starting at the beginning. Because if we learn to teach right away, it's only going to benefit the kingdom, right? What happened to that quarterback as he learned the steps, as he went through the process? What happened to him? Well, every day he did it over and over again, and he couldn't mess it up. It was right on every time. Because he went through the habits of practice to get it right. That's really what we're doing. We're practicing for the game. You never know when you're going to get put in the game. Could be at work. Could be going to the grocery store. Could be anywhere, but you're always in the game. You know? So if we're prepared and we go through the habits to get the function, it's who we are. You can't stop being who you are, right? See, this guy was who he was. God built him for that purpose. The coach seen that purpose, and this is what you're going to be. Okay? But he had to really believe in that process. So if you trust it, you hear that a lot, I don't want to overuse it, trust the process, that's really what we're doing. Because we have... Oh.
Well, one of the things that's really interesting with that, too, is that he probably had to take a whole bunch of losses in practice.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to take a lot of sacks. He's going to throw a lot of interceptions in practice. And that's just fine.
Right.
That's okay. It's a necessary part of it for him to be able to get to that point.
Uh-huh.
In the same way, we're going to have our own personal interceptions. We're going to have our own personal losses that we take. But if we continue to work that, we continue to show up to practice, we continue to get up for the next repetition.
Exactly.
What the result, the result is going to be the same, performance that we're looking for ultimately, that's simply a result of working and practicing.
Working and practicing and believing who you are. You know, he's right on the button because...
And learning from your mistakes.
Right.
That's where we're getting to. You know, we're getting to that point. Learning from your mistakes because everybody makes them. But see, as soon as he thinks, can't do it. You know, as soon as he gets down on himself, he's going through another process, right? Process of, I'm done. See, mentally tough is really what we're talking about here. to tell ourselves what we see out here, that's not what just happened, really isn't what's visual to God. God sees me as successful because I opened my mouth. Right? Because that's who I am. I believed in the process. Doesn't matter how I did it, but if I trust the process and look at that and say, you know what? I probably didn't speak that the best I could have. Let's work on maybe understanding the functionality of how people really are. And maybe try and get to know them first, because maybe they'll trust me a little bit better or whatever it is. But we've got to be able to look at ourselves honestly and objectively and not beat ourselves up, because there's people out there that do. You know, they do. But there's a process to this change. You know, and God is the one. He's the coach. You know, He's the one that puts the plays into effect. And all these intricacies, all the principles, all the scriptures that it takes for us to understand and believe so we can go through the process. We already have success. Excuse me.
You know, I think God lets us see ourselves for who we really are, too. As you grow in that process, you really recognize your shortcomings and, you know, where you need to really change in your life. I think that comes with time and study and maturity.
Yeah. Well, the scriptures will hit you. They'll hit you like a ton of bricks. Oh, wait a minute here. This is something I may need to look at. Go ahead, Marshall.
I think that's the key, something that David said too, continuing to learn. Because in practice, what you're getting is information. Mm-hmm. And when we recognize that as information, there's not quite the judgment on ourselves that can lead to changing the mindset to, I made a mistake, to I am a mistake. Mm-hmm. And so when you get that information, and all it is information, that information can be really, really useful. Because if he throws the interception on Tuesday at practice, well, that's okay, because you know that whatever he did in that case is information, so he doesn't make the mistake on Friday.
Yeah.
And sometimes in our Christian lives, we treat every single thing that we're learning and working through as the Friday night game, mm-hmm. when really God is just giving us Tuesday practice.
Right.
So embrace the information that you get on Tuesday, and nobody's saying to be lackadaisical with that, but it is information on Tuesday, and God will give us bigger and bigger games to be able to participate in.
Right.
And it allows us to continue to receive that information instead of making ourselves blind, because mm-hmm. we feel like we're getting beat 42-0 on Friday night.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly it. See, if we go to 2 Peter 1, see, this is the process that he lays out. Let's start 1 through 10. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received faith as the same kind as ours, by righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, see, if you believe in all that thing, all those things above, that we've got it, we've got the potential, we've got the promise, we've got the Holy Spirit. Now He's saying, for this very reason, the why, apply all your diligence in your faith supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we look at that first part, man, we got to know how he sees us. We've got to look and say, man, he sees me this way. I'm this person. Man, if we can really grasp, that's one of the key fundamentals. Why do they say fundamentals? What's the root word's mental, right? You fund the mental part. If we keep giving ourselves that renewing of the mind, we keep funding our mental status with the good things, we're going to have it. We're going to understand. So, fundamentals, all this believing in the true knowledge. Once you have knowledge of something, I said it Wednesday night, and I've said it probably a couple times before, but once you have knowledge of something, do three things with it. Put that on a shelf. I'll deal with that later. Or, man, that's something I can use. I need. I want. Or you can say, that's nothing. I ain't believe that guy, you know? That ain't true. Three things you can do with that. It's all choices that we have. But we got it right here to look at. And truth is what? God. His word. Can't take it for anything else. Man, if your dad lied to you over and over again, you ain't gonna believe him, you know? But knowing that everything he said in here has come true and is true, that knowledge is saying, man, I can use this tool and I can be changed. He's going to change me if I keep thinking this way. I keep funding my mental habits with good things. It's a process. It's so subtle, you won't see it. Unless you're really, really looking. You know, when you talk to that guy and they're sitting on their edge of their seat listening to you, probably a good point that you're on the right track. You know, but not everybody's going to be that way. You might set it the best you can, just like we were talking earlier, the best you can in the best way that God wanted you to say it. And they're going to say, ah, that ain't nothing. I ain't listen to that. But that's not on you. Not on you whatsoever. See, they're veiled. Anyway, everyone we're talking to, they cannot see the Word of God. They can't see it if their heart isn't searching for it. So we can take that information and say, maybe not now, but I'm going to come back to that rock and pick it up and see maybe later. You know, see, it's not on you. It's never on you. We're in the process. We keep thinking good thoughts, keep putting these things into place that I am a priest. I am an heir to the throne. I am God's son. How could you ever go wrong? You know? How could you ever go wrong? Everyone that's born in England under Prince William, that firstborn, some has it, the nextborn's in line. There's heirs, you know? That whole bloodline from that first, whoever gets that throne, that bloodline's passed down over and over and over again. You cannot change it. All you can do is speak about what that office holds. You know? Speak, and they can pick that up, knowledge up, or they can poo it. You know? They can pick it up or they can poo it. So, not talking about physical bloodlines here, but our teaching is the bloodline to the heir of the kingdom. You know? So it's important that we go through this process of faith. Okay? To our fundamental habits and our moral excellence. What's moral excellence? I can look good to everybody? No. It's practicing what he wants from me and saying, understand, going through that every day, saying, I only do good things. I only do what God wants me to do. I only act the way God would want me to act. And if we keep going through those habits, keep pushing and pressing those habits and not looking at what comes out our face, but knowing he's pleased because we're working on the process. And through that process, he changes it because we're funding our treasures, our mental treasures in heaven. It's really what we're doing. Storing up those fundamentals in heaven. Will they ever go wrong? Not spiritually. To this world, it may look total chaos, total stupidity, what just came out your face. But that's not the avenue God wants us to see it. It's looking at it and say, I can do better. All I got to do is go through the habits, keep pushing it, and keep looking at it and saying, how can I be better? How can I look at this differently? Because it's usually how we think of ourselves is what inside of us is what comes out. So there's something usually inside of us that needs to be worked on for this to come out perfectly. The vision isn't quite there yet. The faith in that vision isn't quite there yet. So when you see people struggling or having trouble with that vision, well, they're going through a process, you know, and you're not in charge of the process of which one they go through. You can help them with that vision, talking to them as godly people, telling them that who they are and whose they are and their purpose. That's all we can really do, because they can choose the knowledge and keep working through this whole thing here. Because if we don't have it, the knowledge, you'll never get any self-control. If you don't know how what you're supposed to be, you can't control yourself. That's why the world ignores the knowledge. And they have no self-control. Perseverance. There's going to be struggles in there. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be trials. There's going to be trouble. But it's not trouble. It's opportunity. Opportunity. See, it's the fundamentals. If you're fundamental, it's an opportunity. And I got to persevere through this opportunity so I can get to the other side. Man, if we see our Savior, if you look at that walk he took from the garden to the cross, man would have turned. I ain't doing it. Man, but he had it together. He had the Spirit of the living God inside him. And he believed in that every step of the way. And every step was a perseverance. Every step was one closer to pain, agony, even while he was going through it. Pain and agony. Thank you, sir. May I please have another? You know? Thank you, sir. May I please have another? That's what he went through. From the thorns to the lashings to carrying a heavy cross, getting booed at, scorned on. That's the process we're going to go through. But that belief that we have and that mental strength from funding the mentals is what we're going through. We have the victory. We have it. Believe it. See, there's so much in here. Trials, tribulations. We could keep pushing and pressing. All these issues. We know what we should do. There isn't a Christian out there in our runnings that it doesn't know what they should do. It's about the image they have. You believe and trust in that image as from glory to glory, the change will come. It'll be the most pressing thing that you will do in your life. The most cared about in every aspect. No matter what you do, you'll be going through the process. No matter where you are, you'll be going through the process, because people are going to be there. People that don't believe, people that believe, people that don't care to believe. You got to deal with all of them. And that's what we're going through. Romans really walks us through the whole process. It's a great book for that process. You know, and I always... And I love this verse. First of all, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to go through this. I am the Son of God. He showed me the way, and this is the only way that this is going to work. This process of living, of a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. That's all we do, right? We only do things that please God. It's going to please Him. It's going to please Him to see you go through the trial. Can you picture Him smiling? See, that would that help you through a hard time? Would that help you through a tough time if you see God saying, "That's my boy. That's my gal. She's going through it victoriously. She put the fundamentals together. He put the fundamentals together. He's successful. But what you seen was maybe an outlash. You know, what the world seen maybe was an outlash. You know, like a little grunt, little moaning, little complaining. But God seen something totally different. Don't get me wrong. We've got to get beyond that sometime. But see, acceptable. If you can picture the smiling, if you can picture the pleasingness of Him, that the attaboy, get through it. Your spiritual service. You're serving God by going through a trial. You're serving God. What can be bad about that? But I got to work on that in my brain. I got to get that picture, that flip, that switch flipped. You know, we all got to get that switch flipped. But the more we practice, more it's coming. And it's already there. And do not be conformed. What's forming you? What's forming you? Is the world going to form you and their reactions to you? Or is what you see from what you're doing spiritually going to transform you? See, it's trans. Through the forming process, by the renewing of the mind. It's God's will. You're proving it. Every time you go through it, you're proving His will. You'll see the change. You'll feel the change. It's subtle. How many you got to go through to get through the other side of trouble? How many you got to go through to get through the other side? It's subtle. But God changes you through every one of them. It's so subtle. It's good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. It don't look perfect. When you tell your one of your brothers that you want him to go to heaven, he needs to get his nose in the Bible. You know, not the best way to say something, was it? But he'll learn. You know, you learn. Okay, but was God pleased with that? I opened my mouth. Opened my mouth. Man, he's pleased with that. This is really what we're always here for. The encouragement that Christ gave us, that you can do it. And you are doing it if you trust the process. Believe in the Almighty God who never lied to us. And every word is written for our ammunition, our training in righteousness, and everything we need pertaining to godliness. So I urge you to trust the process. Go through it. Be positive. Thank you.